Today's going to be a fun service because we're going to do two things. One, we're going to welcome a number of new members to Liberty, some of whom are fairly new to you. You may not know them, so we're going to introduce them and kind of let you put the name with the face. Some of you you've known for years because they've grown up in the church, but now they're adults, and we're going to formally welcome them as members of the church. Then, we're going to have a baptism. So that's going to be exciting. So after we welcome the new members, we're going to take a few minutes and let the people go back and get ready for the baptism. Before we welcome new members, I just want to say a few words about this whole topic of membership. And then while they're getting ready for the baptism, I'm going to share a few thoughts with you on the subject of baptism. So you're getting two sermons today for the price of one. Pretty good, huh? No. How about two reflections? Homilies, whatever. It was interesting as we were meeting with people who were requesting membership in the church, several people actually said that they'd been to churches for many, many years and had never actually heard of the notion of church membership. And that actually all the churches they attended before and, quote, belonged to actually never had any kind of formal membership. So this raises the question, why do you even have such a thing? Why do we have membership in a local church? Well, I think the first thing we need to understand is that if someone knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says that they have been born again. What that means is that their spirit is now made alive and they're united with Christ in a spiritual way. And so they're united to Christ. Well, Christ is called the head of the body, and that's a metaphor. Okay, my head at this moment is connected to my body. Okay. And my head gives commands to the body. Some of you doubt whether or not my head is connected. In any case, it's a metaphor. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. When we are born of his spirit, we are united to him. That's the heart of salvation, that someone comes to know Jesus Christ in a real living way. Well, once you're united to the head, you're really united to the whole body. You become part of the church. That's church with a big C, what's called the universal church. All those who truly know Christ are part of his universal church. But we're not the universal church. We're just a little part of it. We're a local church. So why join a local church? Well, there's several reasons. And the first one is really very simple. And it's that our commitment and our membership in the local church is a reflection of our unity with the broader universal church. Jesus Christ taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." He did not teach us to pray, "My Father who is in heaven." Now, is God your individual Father? Yes, he is. But he taught us to think corporately. And so we join the church because we are attempting to live out the reality of our unity with the universal church in a very practical way in a local community. People cannot see your membership in the invisible church, but they can see your membership in the local church. But there's several other reasons. One is the local church is a divine institution. That is, it's been set up by God. Look at 2 Timothy 3 for a moment. We're just going to look at a couple of scriptures, if you have a Bible with you. And the point to be made here is that the local church is not a man-made institution. Did I say 2 Timothy 3? I meant 1 Timothy 3. I was just testing you to see if you're awake this morning. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul is talking about the offices or officers of the church, the overseer or the elder and the deacon. And then in verse 14, he says, "These things I write to you," chapter 3. "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, clearly in context, the church here, the house of God, is the local church, because he's talking to Timothy about selecting and installing men to be officers in the local church. It's called the house of God. This is the place where God dwells, where he governs. He's the master of the household, and we are members of the house. And when it's called the church, the of the living God, he's talking about the local church. It's owned by God and not by man. This is not my church. We might say it's our church in a sense, because we all belong to the community, but it's really God's church. It's his. He's the Lord and master of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. He will build his church. He is the Lord and master of the church. The local church is not a volunteer organization like any other organization. It's not a social club. It's not a Rotary Club. It's the household of God. It's the temple of God. It's the local expression of the mystical body of Christ. Thirdly, another reason why membership's important is that Jesus Christ cares, loves the local church. Now, we don't have time, but sometime you might want to take your Bible and read Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And in Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven letters that Jesus dictated to be given to seven different local churches. And that's important, because they're not just, it's not just a letter to the church, but each church got a specific letter from Jesus dealing with their specific issues. So he addresses and recognizes each local church, not just the universal church, and not just the individual Christian. You see, Jesus Christ cares about us as individuals, doesn't he? But he cares about the institution of the church as well, and we often forget that. We tend to personalize our relationship with Christ in such a way that we forget that he cares about the community as a whole, but he does. And because Jesus Christ cares about you as an individual, he wants you to be part of a local church, of a covenant community. Because you see, in the context of that covenant community, Jesus Christ meets many of your spiritual needs. And so he brings you into a community so that he might there, in that context, minister to you and grow you up in the faith. Which leads to my last point. Why membership? Because we need it. Because we need it. You know, contrary to the modern notion of the rugged individual, the Christian cannot and will not thrive outside of participation in a local community. I'm going to say it again. A Christian cannot and will not thrive outside of participation in the local church. Many Christians say, I can do just fine without the church. 40% of those who profess to be born-again Christians in America do not belong to a church. I can do fine without the church. Now, before I say anything else about the church, I understand that probably everybody here has some kind of horror story about the church. Okay, I have some of my own, trust me. We're not talking, you know, we can talk about the ideal church and the universal church and what's called the church triumphant and all that jazz. The reality is the local church is a group of people who are saved by grace and are being saved by grace. The church is not a perfect institution. The people that belong to the church are not perfect. There's no perfect pastors. It doesn't work that way. And so in the church, you will, you ever try to share Christ with somebody and they say, oh, the church is full of hypocrites? Well, you know, sometimes they're right. Because a lot of people feel that when I go to church, I have to act like everything's fine, and I can't tell people I'm struggling with sin. And that's not the real church. That's just the social construct thing that happens. The real church is a community of people who understand God's call to holiness and are working together to get there. But we're also acknowledging we're not there yet. But we're striving to get there. We want to help each other get there. We want to pray for each other, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, teach one another, all of these things so that we can all get there together. So the notion that we can do it on our own is simply not biblical. It isn't. I want to look at one more verse, and then we're going to welcome some new members. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. This chapter is really a great chapter to ponder as you think about the relationship between the individual Christian and the community. We're just going to read a couple verses. Paul says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "But now indeed there are many members, but one body." Many members, it's a plurality, but one body, singularity. Right? Many members, one body. "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Yet that's what many say, 'I don't need you. I don't need the church.'" 40% of professing Christians, "I don't need the church." Paul says, you cannot say that. We need the church. We need each other. We need the community. "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." You see, we tend to think of our spiritual growth in the metaphor of a tree. As a matter of fact, Psalm 1 uses that metaphor. It says, if you meditate daily in God's word, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, right? And you grow. So I'm a tree. Okay, I'm a tree. I don't need the other trees. I don't need a forest. A tree can grow by itself. True. But a tree cannot grow without soil and air and sunshine and rain. And our involvement in the covenant community provides these elements for our growth. We don't have time, but if you really were to search the Bible and look at what it says about the local church, it clearly repeatedly uses all of these metaphors for the church being many coming together in the one, meaning Jesus. You have the vine, which is one, the branches, which are many. You have the head, which is singular, the body, many members. The temple is one thing, but the stones are plural, all throughout the Bible. All of these analogies speak of this idea of the one and the many. But they also speak of the need of each member to be a vital part of the larger whole. Can a limb grow if it's cut off from the body? No. And so we really need the body of Christ. And it's really that simple. You know, I referred to the fact that we all have horror stories. And I can promise you that if you're part of Liberty, you will be disappointed. If you're expecting perfection. If you're expecting people who love the Lord, you won't be disappointed. If you're expecting people that are striving to grow, you won't be disappointed. If you're expecting people that are trying to raise godly children, you won't be expected. But if you're expecting perfection, you'll be disappointed. Because we're not perfect. But we're striving toward the mark. Amen? We're striving toward the goal that Christ has laid out before us. The disappointments we experience in the context of community, and this is something we really have to learn, is one of the very things that God uses to grow us. Do you know how much easier my life would be? I'm not going to finish the sentence. But you've all said, what the heck? I'm done with going to church. You've all said it in your heart, if not with your mouth. The way so-and-so treated me today, what the heck? I'm done with this. I don't need these people. I don't need this thing called church. We've all experienced it. But you know what? We do need. We even need the pain that our fellow Christians bring us. Because we need to learn to forgive. We need to learn forbearance. We need to learn patience. We need to learn to love those that at the moment are being unlovable toward us. In other words, we need to learn to be like Jesus. You know what makes Jesus so different? Jesus loved his enemies. You can love your family and you can love your friends, but loving those that are unlovable and loving those that are even at the time, from your perspective, crucifying you, well, that's Jesus' love there. Because when Jesus hung on the cross, he looked at the men who were crucifying him and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's awesome, isn't it? We can be like that too. And we need to be like that. We need the challenge set before us of disappointments. And we grow through that by God's grace. God's so awesome because he takes our folly, our sin, our stupidity, and then he uses it to cause us to grow. Isn't that awesome? So we want to welcome some new members here. Many of these people have already been baptized. Some in other congregations, and they're new to Liberty. Some have grown up here. And Mike's going to come up and help. Where is Mike? And so a couple of these today are actually going to be baptized today also. So welcome him.
All right. Chad Walker.
You need a microphone.
I do need a microphone.
Welcome. you didn't expect to be for people to clap?
No, I didn't know I had such a big fan base. So. I'll be taking autographs later. So. But no, I'm very thankful to be part of this church, and man, I'm at a loss for words, which that never happens with me. But thank for all you, so many people that's been my friends through the years, and for those of you who have put up with me, which is about 2/3 of the second row here. So I was very grateful. Very
okay.
grateful.
God bless. Thanks, Chad. Barbara Brewington. Barbara, there she is. I love you.
Thank you.
Say anything?
Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to save this one for last.
Brent and Nikki Varner.
No words? No words? No words?
You got something to say, Aubrey?
I think that's plenty.
All right. She's not letting go of that.
Yeah, we will just say thank you. We love this church. We've truly been blessed by being, you know, we didn't find this church. The Lord led us to this church. And we just thank you for every single person here that's welcomed us so lovingly.
Thank awesome. You. We love you guys. Robert Nodal. Robert Nodal here. Now, Bob is, I like Bob because he's older than me.
And I'm older than everybody.
He makes me feel young. And we just had a pretty frank talk with Bob. We said, "Bob, you better do this before you die. You got to join a church, man." No, I'm just kidding. We love you, man. You want to say anything?
I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere.
Sandy McAfee.
Sandy, where is Sandy? You gonna say anything?
Sure.
Nikki Varner is my daughter, and it's because of her that I'm here.
because they listened to the radio when they were late getting to our old church. And what they said was, Mom, you have to come. We need to be there. And so the rest of us followed. So thank you very much.
Asa Tyler, homegrown. Good to see you.
Hi, everybody. I feel really blessed to be a part of this church. Like they said, the Lord really led my family here. We kind of got kicked out of our old church when we started homeschooling.
Whoa!
But through a series of friendships and through the homeschool band, we found this church, and I can't say I'd rather be anywhere else.
Great, awesome! Thanks, man.
Lorene Kelly.
You want that microphone, don't you?
I do. Well, as I shared with you one time before, that I showed up for the new members class and nobody else did. I'm glad they finally all came and joined me. But I just want to say I am so glad that God led me here. I had told God I would go wherever He led me, and this is where I am. Thank
Great.
You.
God bless. Jesse and Courtney Pfister. You got more applause than Chad, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We didn't practice this. You going to say anything?
Unless Courtney wants to say something, I'm sure she does.
Oh!
Thank you. We love you guys very much.
Okay.
Hannah Linville.
Who's Amy Wilson here? Amy Wilson. Yeah. This is the quiet crew here. Okay.
Daniel McAfee.
There's hilarious. Not sure about the cat calls, but no, he's not going to speak. How about Stoney Tyler? Should we let him in? Ho, ho.
Thank you.
Sure, man. Nah. Okay.
David Baker.
Where's David?
It's been an awesome journey. It's good to get here. I finally found my place. And I tell you, it was a lot of love from a lot of people that brought me here, including the love of the people that were already at this church. You've got a lot going, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And it really, it was so easy to see, you know. Nobody had to really say anything. It was just part of the experience of being here. I have a lot of gratitude that goes to people such as Tony Kester here, my sister Jackie Baker, my mother and father, of course, and all the other people who have supported me and being here. I must mention the Piper family as well. Tom Piper's not able to be here today. He's in flight to see his mother, who's having an operation. Betty Piper, who I hope that we do spend some time in prayer, and wish her and the family the best. Again, thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. God bless, man. David's also going to be getting baptized here shortly, which is awesome. Kayla Inman. Homegrown. Another quiet one.
Hannah Vaughn.
Can I know you?
I think.
You say anything?
I'm old now, so I had to get a piece of paper.
I love that ringing endorsement by my daughter there. Oh, we have one more. Should we want to let this guy in?
It did come down to a coin toss.
Yeah. Well, God's sovereign, so God said he should be in. Stephen Jernigan, ladies and gentlemen.
I will say something. Doesn't it say something in the Bible about the last shall be first?
Yeah, there you go. All right.
When after we had this meeting, he came in, Mike, and says, well, he said, we're decided we're going to let you in. And I says, really? And he said, yeah, it came to a coin toss. And I'm more of a Calvinist than Calvin. I'm a biblical Calvinist. And I said, thank God for the sovereignty of God in our lives. And so Mike had that look on his face like, man, he just trumped my coin toss. But one thing I want to make clear to everybody, there's only one reason I'm here, and that's because of Jesus Christ and him only.
Amen.
I was reading A.W. Tozer this week, and he says he believes that man cannot pursue God until God first pursues us. Mm-hmm. If it was up to us, we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. It's because God was seeking us, drawing us to himself. And for the rest of my life, I want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. He is my everything. And like Spurgeon said, if there's any good in me, I ascribe it only to Jesus Christ. And I just want to spend the rest of my life praising him, lifting him up, serving him however he wants me to.
Amen.
So you guys have a great day, eh?
Awesome. One of the things we want to do over the next several months is we're going to invite some of our new members to actually take 15 minutes at a service and actually share their testimony. So that would be really good to learn more about them. When you learn Stephen's story, it is a wild ride. But it's so awesome. A testimony to God's faithfulness. I'm going to go ahead and share for a few more minutes.
Oh, I'm not good. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I'm just letting you know. And those of you that are going to be baptized, we want to invite you to go ahead and get prepared now. And we're going to have the actual baptism in just a moment. While they're getting ready, I wanted to share a few thoughts with you about baptism. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, Jesus, this is a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. This was after his resurrection and before his ascension, and he says in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus Christ called men to himself. Now, we've been talking earlier about the church, the community. But the center of the community is not the community. The center of the community is Christ. The purpose of the community is not the community. The purpose of the community is Christ. So Jesus Christ calls men to himself, to follow him, to be a disciple of him, to learn of him, to imitate him, to obey him, to follow him. It just so happens that when he called men to follow him, he called different individuals, but the result was a community. The result was the community we call the apostles, the disciples, and now we simply call the church. So Jesus calls men to himself. And then he tells his followers, his disciples, to then now go and make disciples. When Jesus was on the earth, he could walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, you, follow me." And he did. We have accounts in the Gospels where Jesus walked up to Matthew, and Matthew's a tax collector, and he's sitting at his table doing his job, and Jesus walks up and says, "Matthew, follow me." And he goes to James and John, and they're fishermen, and they're on the shore, and they're mending their nets. Jesus walks over and says, "Hey, you, follow me." And they did. Well, Jesus is still doing the same thing today, but he's not doing it physically because he's not here. He's ascended. He's in heaven. So how does Jesus call men today? He calls men through his church. He calls men through us because we are called to, once we come to Christ, we are then called to go. And we go and we tell people the glorious good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world. And these are the words of Jesus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, himself, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I came to Jesus Christ 35 years ago. And I remember the first time I read that verse. Jesus did not come to condemn me. He came to save me. And I had grown up in a home where there was a religion. And the net result of that religion was I felt condemned. I didn't feel that God loved me. Because it was all about the rules. It was about the regulations. It was do this, don't do this. It wasn't about the love of God. And I remember how the religiosity, if you will, the rules and the regulations and all of these requirements actually turned me away from God. Because I knew in my heart, I can't do this. If this is what I have to do to be accepted by God, I can't do this. And so I was condemned. And there was no hope. So I walked away and I lived a life of hopelessness. But then, in God's grace, he called me. Jesus called me to himself. And he showed me the message of the gospel. That he did not come to condemn. He came to save. That God sent his Son into the world because God loved us so much. Now, you might be here and not... This might all be new to you today. And you might think, well, what does Jesus coming to earth have to do with God loving me? What's the connection? Very simply, the connection is this. We, you and I, we have sinned. And I don't really believe that you have to convince anybody of that. Because if you just pause for a moment and reflect on the past week, you could probably think of something you did that you probably shouldn't have done, even if it was an angry thought. An unkind thought. We've all violated the Ten Commandments. We all have. We know this in our hearts. Our hearts tell us this because we have conscience. Right? Well, the Bible tells us that this God is holy and just, and that sin cannot dwell in his presence. Well, how can I, an unholy person, have a relationship with a holy God? How can I, an unholy person, be accepted with the holy God? How can I, an unholy person, enter into the presence of heaven, which is holy and pure like God? I can only do it through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came, and when he hung on that cross, God was placing on him the sins of the world. And so my sins were being placed on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was being punished for my sins. And because he was punished in my place, I did no longer have to be punished. He bore God's punishment for me in my place. It gets even better than that. Because the Bible says that his righteousness, and Jesus was perfect because he was a God-man, his righteousness is then given to us. So he takes my sin and guilt and is punished, and I get his righteousness. And so now I can come to God, and I can be accepted with the holy God because I've been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not my own, but his. Right? Which is why Paul says that he counted all things lost to the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in whom he wanted to be found. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law or works, but the righteousness of faith through Christ. The righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given to me is given to me not based upon my works. It is given to me based upon faith. Because if I had to work for it, I could never be perfect. When someone is baptized, they are acknowledging that they have accepted Jesus Christ, put their faith in Christ as their Savior and their Lord. But they're really going beyond that. Because they're really saying that they're pledging to follow him. It's a public announcement. Not only that I believe in Christ, but that now I am going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a disciple. The Bible tells us that when we are baptized, we die. And of course, going into the water is a symbol of burial. But then we're lifted out and in the newness of resurrection life. So we die to the old, we're risen to the new. When we are baptized, we are making a decisive break with the old man, with the world. We're putting away the old and we're embracing the new. In a sense, you could say baptism is death to self, but it's life to God. It is saying, I'm now going to follow Jesus as a disciple. And I'm publicly making that pledge. Read Romans 6:1, and then we're going to have the baptism. In Romans 6:1, it says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So Jesus died He was buried and he rose in newness of power. And when we put our faith in him, we die with him. We are buried with him and we are resurrected in newness of life. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and proceed with the baptism now.
Hey, this is an exciting time because I've had the privilege of teaching the baptism class the past few times. And a lot of times it's younger children, 8, 9, 10, 11, kind of the homegrown that we were talking about. Today we're baptizing 7 people, and besides one of them, their ages are about 28 and up. And a handful of them have just been saved in the past 3, 6, 9 months. So it's really exciting, yeah. So it's exciting to see the work that the Lord's doing, and the people's hearts that are here today, the 7, their heart is to, in obedience to Christ, be baptized. Brent Varner. Brent. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried in the grave, 3 days later rose from the dead, and that you indeed confess and profess him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Will you commit to living for him and walking in newness of life all your days?
Yes, I will.
All right. Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dan McAfee.
That's right. That's
right. Dan, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried in the grave, and 3 days later resurrected from the dead, and that you indeed profess him and confess him to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Will you commit to walking in his ways all of your life and to walk in the newness of life that is in Christ all your days?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Marla. Marla, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and 3 days later rose from the dead? Do you confess him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I do.
Will you commit to walk?
Ready.
Will you commit to walk in his ways and walk in newness of life all your days?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. R. Brewington. Barb, do you believe in the Lord with all your heart?
Yes.
I'm changing it up.
Sorry. You confused me.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, and 3 days later rose from the dead, and that he is indeed your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Will you commit to walking all your days for him in newness of life?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Yes.
David Baker. David, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried and 3 days later resurrected from the dead, and that he is indeed your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Will you commit to him to walk in his ways and to walk in newness of life all your days?
Yes.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have two more baptisms, and Rick has asked permission to baptize his son, so he's going to do that, and then Tim Ward is going to baptize Chad Walker.
It's not over my head. Joseph, it's a great privilege to baptize you, and I just going to ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior who died on the cross for your sins?
I do.
Cool. And will you serve him all the days of your life?
Yes.
Well, I love you, man.
Love you, too.
Put your arms. Okay. Joseph, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
This is Chad Walker. Most of you know him. I'm asking a few questions. First of all, Chad, why don't you tell me what turned your life around and brought you to Christ real quick? Yeah.
Well, a lot of people in here do know about it. Basically, right after I got divorced, that sums it all up.
And, so what happened after that?
I accepted Christ as my Savior, and I've been growing ever since, and it's been awesome.
All right, man, I have a couple questions for you, all right? Okay, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes.
You believe he died and rose from the grave for you?
Yes.
Are you ready to walk with him continuously?
Yes.
All right, and here's one more thing. Are you going to stay on the path?
Yes.
The only way you're going to do that is by being a part of this body.
Yes.
All right? But listen, Chaz, my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. All right.
Does anybody else want to be baptized? I'm serious. Anybody else? Anybody else? No, not at the moment. Okay. Since the theme today is new, right? New members, newness of life. We actually have some new people here. Like Andrea is going to introduce somebody that's new. Andrea, come on up. Here, come up here. Introduce this new one.
This is Ethan Michael.
Yeah.
He was born January 25th, and he was an 8-pounder.
So let's see. Ethan has his mother's beauty and his father's brains. It's all going to work out good. All right? Good. God is good. Amen? Let's all stand together. I'd like to close the service with Amazing Grace, if we could do that. We have a reception downstairs. Encourage you to go to the reception. Welcome the new members. Congratulate those that were baptized as we celebrate our life in Christ together. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for newness of life. We thank you, Lord, that through your power we can walk in your ways all the days of our life. We give you the honor and the glory. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.